Second Chronicles, chapter 15. Lord, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Second Chronicles 15, verse 1. The Spirit of God came upon Azariah, son of Obed. Now, the Spirit of God is also the spirit of prophecy, or the spirit who brings the word of God to man. And that's what's going to happen right here. 2. He went out to meet Asa and said to him, "Listen to me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you when you are with him. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you." The only time we lose fellowship with God is when we sin against him. And not just sin against him, but rather sin without repentance and without confession. The Catholics call that a mortal sin. If it is a grave sin, you turn your back on God, you willfully turn your back on God, and you're no longer in the state of grace. And most of Protestantism believes that that's possible as well. You turn your back on God, and you refuse to confess, and you refuse to repent. Well, you're out of fellowship with God. God didn't go anywhere. He's always there, ready, willing to have fellowship. But he doesn't force himself on somebody who turns their back on him. Verse 3, "For a long time Israel was without the true God, without a priest to teach, and without the law." Now, this is actually pointing to a future time, but it's spoken of in the past tense here. In the book of Second Chronicles. Verse 4, "But in their distress they turned to the Lord, the God of Israel, and sought him, and he was found by them." And this happened many times in Israel's history. They sinned and got in trouble. And then in their distress they cried out to God, who does not hold a grudge, and he helped them. Verse 5, "In those days it was not safe to travel about, for all the inhabitants of the lands were in great turmoil." And that is a byproduct of ungodliness. When a nation does not govern themselves in the Lord, there will be confusion and conflict, excuse me, and it won't be safe to walk the streets. And that is the warning here. Verse 6, "One nation was being crushed by another, and one city by another, because God was troubling them with every kind of distress." And this sort of thing happened throughout Israel's history whenever they rebelled against God. Verse 7, "But as for you, be strong and do not give up, for your work will be rewarded." And this is repeated in the book of Galatians in the New Testament to Christians. "Do not grow weary in well-doing, because you will reap if you do not give up." And what it basically means is, don't quit doing the right thing. That's what Asa is being told. Don't quit doing the right thing, Asa. And you know, when the rewards of faithfulness are not seen right away, a person is tempted to say, forget it. It's not worth it. Well, God says it will be worth it. Verse 8, "When Asa heard these words and the prophecy of Azariah, son of Obed the prophet, he took courage. He removed the detestable idols from the whole land of Judah and Benjamin, and from the towns he captured in the hills of Ephraim. He repaired the altar of the Lord that was in front of the portico of the Lord's temple." Asa had taken a stand for God from the beginning. And, you know, he may have received some opposition for his holiness. And as a result of that, he may have been tempted to quit and say, it's not worth it, forget it. I'm taking all these stands for the Lord, and I get nothing but grief in return. But the Word of God inspired him to carry on. And that's why we need the Word of God today. We need a regular dose of God's Word to encourage us to keep doing what is right. Verse 9, "Then he assembled all Judah and Benjamin, and the people from Ephraim, Manasseh, and Simeon, who had settled among them, for large numbers had come over to him from Israel when they saw that the Lord his God was with him." People from the northern kingdom who loved God moved to the south to be where it was godly and to get away from the idolatry up north. And so God was drawing good people into the southern kingdom of Judah. Verse 10, they assembled at Jerusalem in the third month of the 15th year of Asa's reign, and that would be about the time of Pentecost. So the immigrants came to Jerusalem for the religious feast of Pentecost, a very holy occasion for God's people. 11, at that time, they sacrificed to the Lord 700 head of cattle and 7,000 sheep and goats from the plunder they had brought back. They entered into a covenant to seek the Lord, the God of their fathers, with all their heart and soul. Remember, Israel was a monarchy, but it was not just a monarchy. At its root, it was a theocracy. In other words, God was Israel's king. And it says here, all who would not seek the Lord, the God of Israel, were to be put to death, whether small, great, or man, or woman. That's why that was the law. It's because they were not just a monarchy. They were not a democracy. They were a theocracy. God was Israel's king. As a result, to disobey the law of God was to commit a crime against the state as well. And they understood that there were some very serious crimes that could be committed against God that could mean the destruction of the nation. They found that out the hard way. And when you turn your back on God, the nation goes down the tubes. And that's why it was such a strict rule. You obey God or you're going to be put to death. Because if you disobey God, it could mean the death of our nation and many innocent people. 14. They took an oath to the Lord with a loud acclamation, with shouting and with trumpets and horns. And they were happy because they were following the Lord. 15, all Judah rejoiced about the oath because they had sworn it wholeheartedly. They sought God eagerly, and he was found by them. So the Lord gave them rest on every side. And here we see the key to happiness in this life, right here. When one is dedicated completely to God, they will be as happy as possible given the hand that they have been dealt. Doesn't mean everything's going to go perfectly, but there is a happiness and a joy that transcends circumstances for those who belong to the Lord and who are totally dedicated to him. 16, King Asa also deposed his grandmother Maakah from her position as queen mother because she had made a repulsive Asherah pole. Asa cut down the pole, broke it up, and burnt it in the Kidron Valley. Boy, you talk about being dedicated. Asa was. And this reminds me of Jesus' words. He said, if you do not put me before your family, if you don't love me more than your husband or wife or son or daughter or parents or whoever, you cannot be my disciple. Jesus must come first. And Asa proved that that was the case with him because he deposed the queen mother off of her throne, who was his grandmother, because she was an idolater, and then he smashed and burned her idol as well. And this may have been a shocking thing to some people back in those days, but Asa didn't care. He knew it was the right thing to do. He was putting God first, and God blessed as a result. 17, although he did not remove the high places from Israel, Asa's heart was fully committed to the Lord all his life. Asa put God first. And part of putting God first in your life, if you're a civil leader, like he was, is to do your best to enact laws that line up with the word of God. Asa did that. That's why I don't buy this garbage, and God doesn't either. These politicians who say, well, I'm personally opposed to this or that because of my own personal religious beliefs, but I'm not going to try to work for laws that go along with my religious beliefs. Well, then you don't believe it. Not really. Because faith without works is dead. And besides, God will hold every civil governor, senator, congressman, president, judge, whatever, responsible for enacting laws and enforcing laws according to Holy Scripture. And if they don't do it, they will answer to God for that. Verse 18. He brought into the temple of God the silver and gold and the articles that he and his father had dedicated. There was no more war until the 35th year of Asa's reign. Asa's respect for the Lord was seen in how he respected the house of the Lord too. We'll pick it up in chapter 16. Until then, so long, everyone.